I want to do a reading just at this time, and our reading tonight is found in Mark's Gospel, chapter 12. Mark's Gospel, chapter 12, and we'll read at verse 28 through to 34. Mark, chapter 12, and verse 28. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, "What is the first commandment of all?" And Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength.' This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, 'Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself.' There is none other commandment greater than these." And the scribe said unto him, "Well, Master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself, is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, "Thou art not far from the kingdom of God." And no man after that durst ask him any question. We know that God will add his blessing to this reading of his old precious and holy word. We find that when we read the Gospels, that we come to the conclusion without any trouble whatsoever that the Lord Jesus Christ was indeed the perfect Son of God. He manifests forth his deity in so many different ways. And yet we find that in his day, the perfect Son of God had much opposition against him. And the opposition came 99.9% of the time from religious people and leaders. The scribes and the Pharisees and so on. He was opposed by religion, which was full of ritual and full of emptiness. Religion that had nothing in it. Nothing in it but deadness. You remember he said on one occasion, "Woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, whited sepulchres, who indeed seem beautiful outward, but within are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness." And that's how he likened the religion of that day too. The same can be said today, of course, that the opposition the Savior faced then, we face today, maybe from different religious groups who have another God, who don't see Jesus as we see him. And there's much opposition against Christianity today. But the opposition the Savior faced, it came in the form of carefully thought out questions. Questions that were asked for the purpose of finding fault with the answer. And so if they could find fault with the answer, they were able to find fault with the one who gave the answer. And that was the Lord Jesus. I don't mind answering questions. It's good to ask questions. You learn many things by asking questions. But if questions are asked solely for the purpose of trying to find fault with the answer, then, my, I have little time for that. And we see here, as we look at this passage, in fact, if you read this chapter, this 12th chapter in Mark's Gospel, you'll find that there were various questions asked to the Savior. I've called the first heading tonight, the challenge of the critics. The first question was a question of loyalty. Was it right for the Jews to pay taxes to the Romans? You'll find it in verse 13 through to verse 17. They said unto him, or they sent unto him, certain of the Pharisees and of the Herodians to catch him in his words. And you remember they said to him, is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? That was the question. And you'll find that he answers the question, and he says in 17, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. And Jesus answered the question. And that's a good answer even for today. We need to render unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things which are God. We need to pay our taxes. So the first question they asked here was a question of loyalty. We find that the second question he's asked was a question of life, from verse 18 through to 27. And we find that, my, they came to him with this question, which they had invented by some means. They invented this fantastic story of a woman who had married each of seven brothers. My, she married the first brother, or she married the first man, and she became a widow, and he left her no children. And then they went on to say, as you read the passage, that the second brother married her, and again, my, he died and left her childless. And the same went on for the whole seven of them. The whole seven of them died and didn't bear her a son. I wouldn't have been like to pay the funeral expenses, I can tell you that, because it would have got up quite high, the fact that this woman outlived all these seven men. And they asked her this question, and they said to her here in the portion, in the resurrection, whose husband was he? My, where are we in the resurrection? Therefore, when they shall rise, whose wife shall she be of them? For the seven had her to wife. And Jesus answered the question, and he gives a very interesting answer here. He said, do ye not err, because ye know not the scriptures, neither the power of God? And when they shall rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels in heaven. So it would seem to me that there be no marriages in heaven. We're to be like the angels in heaven. So that was the second question. Now the third question, the first one was about loyalty, the second one was about life, and the third question was about the law. And the question was, which is the first commandment, or the best commandment of all? Here in verse 28 through to verse 34. One of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceived that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And we see here the conversation with the scribe. This was a scribe who asked the question, and we read that the scribes were determined that the Jews would be obliged to obey all 613 precepts of the law. The 365 negative and 248 positive. And one of the favorite pastimes and exercises of the scribes was discussing among themselves which was the greatest of the commandments. And the Lord Jesus answers their question here in verse 29. Jesus answered, "The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. The second is, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." And so we see here, he's answering the questions. The greatest commandment is, thou shalt love God and love thy neighbor. And here in verse 35, we see now the comment of the Savior. Verse 34. When Jesus saw that he had answered discreetly, he said unto him, "Thou art not far from the kingdom of God." Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And that's our text for tonight. Jesus said to this man who was inquiring, "Thou art not far from the kingdom of God." Why did he say this to him? Well, the man was different from the others because this man was sincerely seeking the answer. This man was genuine in his inquiry. This man was on the right track as far as spiritual things were concerned. And Jesus said to him, "Thou art not far from the kingdom of God." I wonder, can that be said of you tonight? Maybe there's someone here in this evening service, and you're not far from the kingdom of God, because the kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom. You know, when we look at this text, there's a number of things we can see. We can see here the person who was not far from the kingdom, because this text implies that if he was not far from the kingdom, but he wasn't in the kingdom. He wasn't far from it, but he wasn't in it. You know, if you're going to some function, say, in the Waterfront Hall in Belfast, and you text home or you text your friend, and you say, "You know, I'm just a few hundred yards away from the front door of the Waterfront Hall in Belfast, just a few hundred yards away from it," you're not in it. You're near to it. You're very nearly in it, but you're not in it. You're not in it. Or if you're going down the town and you're going to meet someone and you text someone again or ring them up on your telephone and you say, "I'm not far away from such and such a place," you're not in it, friend, but you're not far from it. This text implies that this man, he wasn't far from the kingdom of God. But the thing is this, he wasn't in the kingdom of God. He wasn't in it yet. You know, in Colossians chapter 1, we find that Paul is writing to these believers at Colossae. And he's bringing before them two kingdoms. In verse 13 he says, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and have translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son." And you see, friends, when we were born in darkness, in nature's darkness, in the kingdom of darkness. And then there came a day when we heard the truth and the Holy Spirit brought light into our souls. and illuminated our minds. And we heard the gospel, how that God sent his Son to be our Savior. How that he sent him to the cross. And that Christ obeyed the Father's will and gave his life as a ransom and shed his blood and made a sacrifice for sin and rose again the third day to be the Savior. And that day we received Christ. We were born again. And you know this, we were born into the kingdom of God's dear Son. So this man was still in the kingdom of darkness, but he wasn't far from the kingdom of God's dear Son. You know, he was a person who was impressed by the Savior's answers. He says, "We perceive that thou hast answered them well." He was a person who was humble enough to confess his need. In verse 33, we find he says, "My, to love thy neighbor as himself is more than all burnt offerings and sacrifice." This man acknowledged that to love God and to love God was better than burnt offerings and sacrifices, and we need, or no one else needs. We cannot, our need cannot be met by religious sacrifice. This man, he was a person who was impressed. He was a person who was humble enough to confess his need, and he was a person who understood the truth. It says in verse 32, "Well, Master, thou hast said the truth." He understood the truth. You know, the Lord Jesus brought the truth of God's word to this man, and he understood the truth. And people who are not far from the kingdom of God are people who understand the truth. Their understanding has been opened by the Holy Spirit to understand the truth. They understand the truth that they're lost. They understand the truth that they're perishing because they're lost. They're in danger because they're lost. And they understand the truth of God's love, that God loves them. And God so loved them that he gave his Son to die for them. And they understand the truth of the gospel, that if they come by faith and repent of their sin, the promise of God is, "Thou shalt not perish, but have everlasting life." So we see tonight the person who was not far from the kingdom. Second thing I want you to see is the privilege of not being far from the kingdom. The fact that the Lord Jesus made this comment about this man meant that God was working in his life. If God had not been working in his life, my dear friends, he couldn't have said that about him. And you know, if God is not working in your heart tonight, you'll never be saved. God was showing him his need. God was revealing to him his truth. And salvation is of the Lord. It's of God. It's God by his Spirit bringing light to people's soul. And the Lord had brought this man to the place where he understood the truth. He knew the truth. And he was not far from the kingdom. He was not far from the kingdom of God. What a precious place to be. And there's many tonight. And you know, friends, there's many tonight who are far from the kingdom of God. Far from the kingdom of God. They've no time for God. They've no place for God. They've no thought for God. My dear friends, My, they're far away, far away. But there's people tonight, you know, and I believe that God by His Spirit works in their heart, and God reveals the truth and moves and works. And because their minds and hearts have been illuminated, they're not far from the kingdom of God. They're not in it yet, but they're not far from it. Yes. We see the person who was not far from the kingdom. And we see the privilege of not being far from the kingdom. Because if God speaks to your heart, what a privilege. And we see the peril of not being far from the kingdom. You've heard the saying before, you've heard the saying, so near and yet so far. And that's how it was with this man. He wasn't far from the kingdom, but he wasn't in the kingdom. The scribe was convinced, but I wonder, was he ever converted? There's many people like that today. They're convinced and they're convicted, but I wonder, are they ever converted? Not far from the kingdom is a privileged place, but it's also a perilous place to be. It's also a dangerous place to be. You remember Abner in the Old Testament? My, he was at the very gate of Hebron. And Job, who had followed after him, slew him under the fifth rib. My, he was only a step from safety. Only a step from the city of refuge. And if he had taken that step, that one more step, he would have been inside the city of refuge, and Job couldn't have touched him. But my, Job slew him at the very gate of the city. Just one more step and he would be there, but he missed it. Remember Felix? And Paul preached of righteousness, temperance, and judgment in that great room that was filled with many people. And yet the writer of the Acts of the Apostles says that when Paul preached, that Felix trembled. Felix trembled. He was the only man that trembled. He was the only one in that room that trembled. God was working in his soul, and the word of God was getting into his heart. But Felix only trembled. We never read anywhere that he trusted. And dear friends, many people have trembled. Many people have trembled. And many people have shed tears. And many people have been convicted. And tonight they're in the caverns of hell. They missed it. They missed it. Think of Agrippa. When Paul gave his testimony in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 26, Agrippa, King Agrippa, said to him, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." He was almost persuaded. He was almost persuaded, but he was never altogether persuaded. He never took that final step. Almost persuaded thine to believe, almost persuaded Christ to receive, almost cannot avail, almost is but to feel, sad, sad, that bitter wheel, almost but lost, almost but lost. Tell me this tonight, has God been speaking to you over these past weeks or even years? Our nights? Has God been showing you your need? Has God been bringing to you the truth? And here you are tonight, and you're not far from the kingdom of God. But dear friend, you need to take that final step. The rich young ruler came saying, "Good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And he was seeking, and he was desiring But my dear friends, he went away sad, for he had many possessions. Maybe you've trembled like Felix, been almost persuaded like Agrippa. My, you've been seeking like the rich young ruler. You know the truth. You know the way. And you're not far from the kingdom. But dear friends, you're too far. You're still too far tonight. See, the man who was not far, the person who was not far from the kingdom. And you see the privilege of not being far from the kingdom, the fact that God has been speaking and working. You see the peril of not being far from the kingdom. It's a perilous position, a dangerous position. Finally, just on a word tonight, the pathway. The pathway to the kingdom of God. How do we get into the kingdom of God? How do we get there? It's not through baptism or any church, not through any religious order. Over in that great third chapter of John's Gospel, Christ is speaking to a religious leader and a religious man. His name is Nicodemus. Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." You get into the kingdom through the new birth, through being born again, through being saved. Dear friends, that's how you get in. Do you know what it is to be born again? Have you had that experience? Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? Have you got down before Him and took your place as a sinner, and repented of your sin, and put your faith in the precious blood of the Lamb that was shed on yonder tree at Calvary, and opened your heart and said, "Yes, Lord, I'm coming to thee. Save my soul. Have mercy upon me." Dear friends, that's what it means. When you come to Christ, you're born again. The Lord said to this man, "Thou art not far from the kingdom of God." Where are you tonight? Where are you on the road of life? Do you know the truth? Are you being convicted and convinced? May you take that important final step. May you step over the line. May you say yes to Jesus. May you come to Him as you are. Take Him. Because friends, if you're not far from the kingdom, that's great. But you know, many has been where you are tonight, only a step. And yet they never got around to taking that step and accepting Christ as their own. May God help you tonight. If you're still not in the kingdom, before you go out through those doors tonight, may you be in the kingdom, and may you be one of the children of God.